Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 55 of the Business Handmade Podcast.
I'm Kim.
And I'm Kevin.
And I can't believe we're on episode 55.
We are flying through the numbers. Pretty soon it's going to be 56. Can you believe that?
Well, that comes next in the sequence, so.
So I guess pretty believable.
It is.
So this week we talked to Maddie about mental health.
Yeah, and I think that's really important for small business owners and makers because you know, it's really easy to get burnt out. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to, you know, kind of maybe underestimate the demand for all of the things that, you know, all the moving pieces of having your business. And it's really hard when you're getting started to have boundaries and to understand that good customer service and boundaries can exist in the same space. I think that's the hardest part for makers.
And especially when you're starting a business and it's just you, a lot of the tasks and a lot of the responsibilities fall on you as one person. And you really can't sustain, you know, a happy, healthy life constantly doing every single thing for your business and for your life. You have to have that self-care or that way to step back and refocus and blow off a little bit of that steam.
Yeah. And we think about like when holidays roll around and how busy things get, how crazy things get. When you and I had our Etsy shop, I mean, I don't think we slept very much during holidays because our orders were exponentially greater during the holiday season than they were the rest of the year. And I think when people wanted certain things customized, you and I would just say okay to that. Because we wanted a good review.
Yeah, and we wanted a successful business, of course. You want to do right by the customer.
But what I think people are starting to realize, and it could be generational or it could just be a sign of the times, is that you can still have great customer service, but limit the things that you're customizing just for your own sanity.
And there are people that, you know, they say if you don't get your holiday orders in by a certain date, you know, that's the cutoff to make sure that they're not scrambling at the last minute and pulling their hair out going crazy. They're building in that boundary, which I think is perfect.
And especially if you have, you know, a day job or you're volunteering and doing other things and having all these other pieces of your life, you know, you have to really outline how much time you're spending in each area, what is most flexible, what's kind of not flexible, and what you should be doing for self-care. So what I loved about talking to Maddie is that she's really, really intentional about her self-care and has specific things that she chooses from that are designated self-care. So it's not just kind of a thing that she says she does, but maybe, you know, it kind of falls off the calendar or, you know, she blows right through it if she's in the middle of fulfilling an order or something. She really takes the time out to make sure that she spends time on self-care.
Yeah, and she doesn't just do her small business. She does a bunch of other things on the side. Plus, she's a student, and she volunteers. So there's a lot of things.
And she helps her dad with his small business.
A lot of moving pieces in her life, but she makes sure that she doesn't get too overwhelmed and she doesn't not give herself the time to have self-care.
Yeah.
So I think that's so important. So that was Maddie from the Scent Garden Shop. And I think it came at a really good time for us too, because we're kind of on a little bit of a break from events. We had our last event, on Saturday at Sigmeister Brewing for their 5th year anniversary, and we won't have our next event until August.
Yeah.
So we have a little bit of a break and it's the perfect kind of downtime to then start thinking about those self-care items.
Yeah. And our spring season isn't typically as busy as this one was. Mm-hmm. We normally have like 3 or 4 weeks in between shows, but this one was like maybe 2 weeks or not even. You know, when we went from Spring Fest, we had 2 weeks until Wine and Jazz.
Well, it's also not typical for us to have a weekend event, so Saturday and Sunday. And we had
Spring Fest
Saturday and Sunday, and then Wine and Jazz Saturday and Sunday.
And then
so it felt like so much more you know, responsibility in the event space.
Right. And then there was a week in between Wine and Jazz and the Sigmeister anniversary. So it felt super busy. And with me being, 6+ months pregnant, I don't even remember how many weeks I am now, that gets a little bit challenging because we do have our other kids. We have three kids and we have our respective day jobs too. So it kind of gets a little bit hairy.
And just a little pat on our own backs. I mean, we kind of took...
Do you need to pat yourself on the back?
We kind of took July off on purpose.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So no, we built in that little break just to make sure that we weren't going to get burnt out before the fall, obviously.
Well, we take the month of July off because it's my birth month. So we have to celebrate me for a whole month. I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, that's accurate.
No, but we're going to, you know, spend some time with the kids. They're on break from school, you know, and really quickly they're going to have another baby in the house and that's going to be hard. So I think kind of spending time as a family of five is important. So we were trying to be intentional about that. And then, of course, our fall season is always our busiest season as we lead up into the holidays and everything. So we'll kind of hit the ground running again in August and then carry it right through fall and holidays.
And for those of you listening that want to do a really great summer, end of summer event, we added Summerfest at Ort Farms, which is a first time event for us on August 28th and 29th. And it's going to be great because it's going to be a kind of a say goodbye to summer festival.
It's a sunflower festival. Let's call it
what it is.
With a
lot of sunflowers, craft beer, live music, and, you know, the first time that we're working with Ort Farms, so we're really excited.
So the cool thing is Ort Farms has a really good handle on this type of festival in general because they've been doing it for years. And for this upcoming weekend, Father's Day weekend, which, I don't know, is this episode airing before Father's Day or after?
I think before.
Cool. So perfect timing. They're doing a strawberry festival. So they are partnering with Jersey Girl Brewing, which is another one of our favorite breweries we work with often. And they have strawberry picking and food and, you know, that sort of thing. So we're actually going. That's what we're going to do for Father's Day. But it also gives us that peek into what Summerfest is going to be like. And so it'll just be, instead of strawberries, it'll be sunflowers. But and then instead of Jersey Girl, it'll be Zigmeister. But, you know, it's that same kind of vibe where it's like an all-inclusive family experience where you pay your ticket price. And that includes, like, the sunflower maze. And that includes, they have a really awesome, like, play structure there. Mm-hmm. Our kids were loving it when we went to tour the facility. They have a farm stand. It's really kind of cool. It's a lot like Tranquility in some ways where they make sure that they have things for the entire family to do. They have an area, like they have a pavilion area for parties and stuff. So it really it is something you could go and kind of spend the whole day. And we're just excited to be part of it. There's going to be live music. There will be, they have apple cannons, right? Is that what they said? Apple cannons?
Yeah, they have the cow train ride.
We have a cow train, kind of just like Tranquility. And then we'll have our market, of course, and sunflowers, which, I mean, who doesn't want to do that?
Yeah,
I love
your
that.
Favorite flower.
I'm excited. Yes, my favorite flower. I'm excited for it. That is sweet that you remembered that.
Of course I do. So you can check that out on our Facebook page, on our events page, and that's in Long Valley, New Jersey.
Yep. We also have a Crafts and Drafts at Jersey Girl, like I said, one of our favorite breweries. That is also in August. That's at the beginning of August. Mm-hmm. And then as we go into the fall, we have, you know, some of our brewery events. We have two Oktoberfests. We have, we'll be back at Maplewood. We have two events at Maplewood. And, you know, we're really hoping to secure our store for the holidays in Westfield. So, and of course, Red Mill. So we have a lot of stuff. Winter Village at the Red Mill Museum over Thanksgiving weekend.
So we'll be taking a much needed break right before all of the fall events.
Right before the baby too.
And the baby comes.
Because then we'll be going nuts with no sleep and lots of things happening. But
yeah, so this is a very calm episode. You'll hear our voices be very calm throughout. And then the closer we get to our fall events and the baby coming, you'll hear us frantically talking on the podcast.
I definitely credit Maddie, though, with our tone. Like, I think she set the stage for that, for sure.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah. So, without further ado, we introduce you to Maddie of The Scent Garden Shop and a really, really important topic, mental health.
Hi, Maddie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for joining us on our podcast.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you.
It's so nice to meet you guys.
Definitely. So tell us a little bit about yourself and about your business.
All right. So my name's Maddie, obviously. And I'm the founder and the owner of the Scent Garden. It's a very small business that I run out of my house, and I'm the sole worker for it. It started off as a hobby to kind of get myself through the pandemic that was kind of ruining my mental health a little bit. And eventually it grew into what it is now. Even though I'm the sole worker, I have a lot of support from people like my dad. He helps me with business matters. My mom helps me with like transporting stuff if I need help with it. And I just have a bunch of friends who encourage me every day.
That's
But
wonderful.
the most important thing to me about my business, though, is its sustainability towards society, the economy, and the environment, which is just my entire big goal regarding it.
That's what I
That's
loved so
awesome.
much about your website is because you actually lay out your mission statement and your vision statement and your core values. And it's something that I haven't really seen too much in other small businesses, that we're connected with. So how did you decide to list them out, for everybody to see?
So when I started my business, I had this like clear goal in mind. And it was hard to put into words. So I did some research and decided sustainability would be the best thing. But the reason I put it on my website and put it out there is because I really want my business to be as transparent as possible. I think with small businesses and even large businesses, people should be able to see what that business is truly about before buying their product. I also think that while people are looking for a product, it's not just about the item. They also want to see like what impact the business makes and why I do what I do.
Yeah, I
I
think that's something we tell our makers all the time is like what we do from the crafter perspective is, it's you're buying into a brand. So when you find a maker that you really you like what they're making or you just connect on that level with, whatever their mission is, it makes it almost easier to support them and easier to buy into it because you share that in common. So, the sustainability, the responsibility to the environment. So it goes beyond just the product, like you were saying.
Yeah. And I do a lot of philanthropy as well. I donate a portion of every product to not specifically a charity, but usually a nonprofit. And I do that because people get to like treat themselves at the same time as supporting another cause, which I think is really beneficial.
Yeah, I love that too. Another reason why I love your website is you list out the charities that you're working with. And I think they change from time to time, right?
Yes, they do. So originally, when I started, I had three nonprofits on there. I had Karma Cat, which is still there. I had the Veterans of Foreign Wars, which is still there, and I had one of my local first aid squad and rescue squads on there. But as the year changed, it was kind of uncomfortable to continue donating to the same three places. So I took the rescue squad out because they were doing okay without me donating. I'm actually looking at switching one of the veteran places. They suggested a new one to me called Unbroken Warriors, where they help veterans with PTSD and other problems. They help get them a service dog to help them throughout life.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
It's
that sounds like it kind of resonates with your cause as well, because in our conversations leading up to this episode, we talked about mental health and why it's so important. And I think that is something that's really overlooked, but is something that can be so taxing for a maker to be a small business owner, but also that they can have that creative outlet. So it sounds like it kind of does mesh really well with, with what you stand for.
No, it's just amazing to be able to support people through multiple things, whether it's animals rescuing an animal with Karma Cat, or veterans with PTSD. I'm looking into other nonprofits too. I'd like to add a third one. I'm just not sure where I'm going with it yet.
And I love that you switch them out too, because it shows that you have a wide range of different nonprofits or charities that you want to work with, and it's really sharing the wealth.
How do you pick which charities you want to work with or nonprofits that you want to work with?
So the first three, I started out with them because I knew those nonprofits personally. I was a part of all three of them. So okay. I thought it would be a good place to start. Moving forward, I'm trying to do research to see where I can do the most help. I'm trying to stay a little bit local to where I'm at to like make the greatest impact that I can. But I'm going deeper into the nonprofit itself to figure out what they're made of, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And keeping it local just adds to the small business factor of it because you want to help the surrounding community that you're in, just as you would like your surrounding, you know, local community to support your little business. So we also were connecting on the mental health subject. You know, when we were originally talking about this episode, we wanted to talk about that. And you've had some experience being an advocate for that. Can you tell us about how you connect mental health with your business?
So I try and connect my business with mental health in two ways. One is for me personally. And that's because I find that with passion comes success. So I don't want to like burn myself out and overwhelm myself with my business.
Of course.
Yeah.
And then absolutely hate what I'm doing and then I can't help anyone.
Yeah. And I think that happens a lot where, you know, people get kind of caught up or just overwhelmed in the business side of things. Like maybe they're really passionate about the art and creating, but the other stuff that comes along with it can be really overwhelming.
Yeah, I did that to myself, actually. I burned myself out, and I had to take a little bit of a break for a while and just get myself back on track and all that jazz.
Yeah, that's really important.
But for me, to make it about my self-care, I find it hard for me to do certain tasks as I'm a little bit autistic. I'm on the autism spectrum. So I kind of created my business as an outlet so I could do the tasks I love instead of like tasks that I have a hard time with at my other jobs.
Yeah. It's nice that you also, you know, you mentioned that your mom and dad and friends all jump in to help you as well. Was it easy for you to kind of pick out which of those things felt good for you to keep to be the tasks that you do versus the tasks that you delegate to other people?
It's not necessarily easy, I guess. If nobody wants to do it, it falls back on me still. So it can be a pain in the butt a bit. So I got to see where like my friends and my family are at to see where they can help me. And then I go from there, I guess.
So is there something that you did when you were taking that little break from your business to recenter yourself? Are there any tips around, you know, the mental health aspect that really helped you kind of refocus?
I actually think my biggest thing that helped me was my therapist. So I've had her for at least a year and a half. So it was, she wasn't new to me. But I think that therapists and other mental health professionals can help us more than we can ourselves. Like obviously self-care is good, and making sure you're well taken care of. But at some point I kind of realized that I couldn't do this myself and I needed help.
Yeah, for sure. And I think even though people talk a lot more about mental health now than they did even 10 years ago, it's still in some ways taboo where people don't really, either there's that stigma attached to having a therapist or they're not necessarily as open as we all should be, because I think a lot of us probably pursue an art as an outlet. And a lot of us are dealing with so much from so many different angles of life at any given moment, whether it is from owning your small business or it's, you know, if you have a day job or it's just regular things that are happening at home. I think it's really important. And I really admire that you're talking about the fact that mental health is such a big part of who you are and what you're doing, and that you have that connection to your therapist.
Honestly, if you had asked me these questions like a year ago, I think I would have like ignored them and changed the topic. I believe the stigma, I guess. Like, I didn't want anyone to know. I kind of wanted to hide it.
Sure. But
within this past year, I learned, well, this is who I am, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Right. I think we've all been there, too. We've all been like, oh, my gosh, people are going to look at me differently if I say that I, you know, see a therapist, or I have a mental health diagnosis or something I'm working through. And, you know, you're not the first person that we've talked to that have kind of talked about these things, and that it is a part of their business or who they are, and that they use their business as an outlet. And I think it's just really so important to talk about it, because so many other business owners are going through it too.
And I think it's really interesting too, because you're talking about, you know, seeing a therapist and talking through some things, but you're also a business owner, and business owners all the time have coaches that help them through different scenarios and, you know, those types of issues. It's really the same thing. It goes hand in hand. So there really shouldn't be too much of a stigma around it, because if you're working on your business or you're working on yourself, it's still having that outside perspective that's really grounding.
Yeah, that like inner reflection and mm-hmm. having someone else that you can kind of bounce those ideas off of.
Exactly. And I think just kind of searching through yourself a little bit at points and like deciding, okay, I can help myself here, or deciding like, you know, I can't do as much as I need. Maybe it's time for me to reach out to somebody.
Yeah.
That point's going to be different for everyone. So I really can't, I don't have that many ways to explain it, I guess.
Yeah. Do you have something that you use as like a benchmark for yourself to know you're kind of reaching that point where you need to take a step back or you need a break?
Kind of. So I'll notice my mood change, and it's a very specific feeling, but I can't really describe it, where I won't want to do anything. You know, I won't want to eat. I won't want to go to work. I won't want to deal with my business. I'll just want to sleep.
Yeah.
And at that point I know, okay, let's take a break, go for a walk, and then we'll finish the day out with some top priorities and then a little break, kind of.
Yeah. I like that you have a plan for that too. You know, I've talked to other people. I have a maker in mind, and I'm not going to mention their name because I don't know how comfortable they are with sharing, you know, their journey, but they own a store. And I think that sometimes owning the store brings a whole other component to it too, where it's like, some days you just feel like, I don't think I want to do this today, or am I talented enough to do this, or like, why am I spending time on this? And it can get kind of discouraging if you get in your head about it. I think it is helpful to have that, you know, that point where you step back, and then like you're saying, you have steps A, B, and C that you do to kind of realign with who you are, why you're doing this, and what you want to get out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes those steps will change, you know, maybe if it's 90 degrees out, I'm kind of like, I don't really want to go for a walk.
Right.
So I'll watch a YouTube video or something, but the point is to take a minute to pretty much distract myself, and then come back and see what I need to do to fix it.
Yeah. Do you recommend to other small business owners ways that they can take care of their mental health, or you know, I know it's so different for everyone, so you can't really say, well, my benchmark is this and maybe that's yours too. But what, you know, what kind of advice do you give other makers and small business owners for taking care of themselves and putting in the self-care?
So I think my biggest one would be about prevention of any mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes with boundaries. So it's really easy, as I said before, to get overwhelmed and burned out. But eventually I figured out what I was doing wrong, and that was just, it was overwhelming myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I created those boundaries where I'll only spend a certain amount of hours per week on a certain task, or I'll be selective in what I let people customize about their items, or how I let people even speak to me, if I get like unruly customers sometimes.
Yeah, I think that the customization piece is important too. I mean, of course, yeah, that makes perfect sense that you would get burnt out if you suddenly were customizing everything for everyone. But it probably also helps you keep yourself in the business and your vision and you know why your art is so personal to you. You know, it's easy to lose sight of that if you're open to allowing everyone else to kind of dictate how you do your business and what you're customizing. So I think that's kind of across the board, that's something that's important for small business owners to keep in mind.
And I think that a lot of business owners feel like they need to make everyone happy at all times and do everything themselves. And I think that goes along with what you're saying with boundaries, is it's okay to sometimes not have to do every single thing and answer every single email, you know, if it's stressing you out or if you're losing your passion for it. So I think creating those boundaries to say, okay, I'm only going to spend 2 hours on this right now and then return later, you know, is a healthy thing to do.
Yeah, so I work so many jobs. I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. But like all I have an Excel sheet. And it just outlines my schedule from the time I get up to the time I go to bed. And like I have like choice parts, so I get to choose what kind of self-care activity I want for this half hour, or what kind of work I do for this hour.
I love
But
that. That's a
yeah.
great idea.
So sometimes I'll have to do something. Like if I have a new order, I have to do that first step right away to get it started. But sometimes if I have like a little bit of leeway, I'll do the fun stuff first. So it's not always terrible, I guess.
Tell us a little bit about your other jobs too. I want to hear a full picture of what your weeks look like.
Oh boy. So does that include my volunteer jobs or just the ones I get paid for?
I think that would be helpful to,
Yeah,
because
I think it's
that's,
all part of what you're doing on a
yeah,
day-to-day.
exactly.
All right, so my biggest job is I work in healthcare. So I do a couple things there. I obviously have my own business, which is a full-time job. For Karma Cat, I have a 2-hour block once a week where I go and I actually just play with the cats. My title is a socializer.
I love
Nice.
It's a really good stress relief.
Yeah.
So I love that. And I do some of their marketing, some of their social media posts I make. So
Cool.
depending on the week, I switch off with somebody. She's really cool. But I also, with the VFW, the Veterans of Foreign Wars that I mentioned before, I'm an administrative assistant. I do that as needed. Like if they have a lot of paperwork 1 week, I'll help them file it, stuff like that. My dad owns his own catering business, so as needed, I'll help him with that. And I'm a full-time student at my community college, so I'm trying to throw that in there somewhere.
You have a ton of experience and perspective from different angles, and I think that's so amazing. And it's probably really interesting to see how each of those things plays into your business, whether you realize or not. But you know, like taking the marketing maybe that you're doing from Karma Cat, you know, that probably gives you a leg up to market your own business, or some of the admin things, whether you're helping your dad through his business or even at the VFW, maybe those have given you perspective into what you actually need to be doing with like record keeping and things like that for your business. Where I think, you know, when we talk about people that start their business, they sort of just think like, okay, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna make, you know, candles, or I'm gonna make, you know, resin art or something like that. And they don't necessarily think about tracking sales. And especially if it starts out as a hobby that transitions to a business, I don't think people necessarily know how or when to track that. So, it's really interesting to see that you have all of these different pieces in your life that kind of give you that angle to say, like, oh yeah, this is a really cool way to track something, and I think it would work well for me. You can almost like adapt those practices to fit with your business.
You are completely correct. And I was really lucky that I came from a lot of different backgrounds with what I do, because I got to see like the stuff I should be doing and that I want to do for my business, but also the stuff that like I didn't want to do. Like my dad, he does all paper filing for his business, where I'd rather keep everything online or on my computer to make things faster and easier. So I kind of got to pick and choose how I think my, not my perfect business would go, but my best business, I guess.
We're with you on that with the electronic copies of everything, because it makes it so much easier to pull reports and to send, receipts to, so our customers are the, the makers that are signing up for shows, and sending in applications and payments and things. And sometimes they'll sign up for 15 shows with us throughout the year. And then at the end, they're like, well, can you give me a receipt so I know which ones I signed up for? Or can you resend my contracts so I have all that? And everything's electronic. So for some people, that feels intimidating, I guess. But for us, it makes it so much easier to be able to find it. It's all in one place.
It is, and I love my dad, but he's a bit of an old timer, so he likes everything being in a paper copy where he flips through it. I like being able to control F my laptop so I can search a word and it automatically pops up.
Oh, you're speaking our language. And the more I'm thinking about how much you actually do during your week, I'm sure it can be very exciting. I mean, it's exciting for me to think about all of the things that you're touching and you're getting experience from. But to go back to the mental health, like it could also be very overwhelming when you're looking at your week and you have all of those different places to be and tasks to do. So it just goes to show like you're a really good resource because you're doing so many things, but you also schedule specific time for self-care and you have that what's the word? Way to kind of step back and make sure that it doesn't get too overwhelming.
And I'm not. So the schedule really keeps me on track, and it really helps me out, but in no way is it perfect. Like if I'm only supposed to do 20 hours for my business this week, but I got 50 orders and I need to like ramp it up, sometimes it's kind of hard to balance and to decide what should I be doing here? Should I be focusing on my business or should I be focusing on myself? So it's kind of like a balancing act a little bit.
I like that you have it in an Excel too, because maybe it gives you that like snapshot of, well, which things can I flex on? Which are like the red, like I need to do these, which are the yellow where maybe I can flex on these, and which are the green where like if I don't get to it today, I can get to it tomorrow or shift it to next week. So I like that you have it all mapped out, and it helps you to be really intentional about your week as well.
No, it's great, but like I said, neither the schedule nor I am perfect,
Of
and
course.
there's times where it's overwhelming, and I've had complete mental breakdowns while I was doing stuff. I've had to leave other jobs, take like a 5-minute break, and then come back, because sometimes it's just too much and there's nothing I can do about it.
And I think we've all been there. It's just really having that coping mechanism to take that 5 minutes and know that you can go back to doing what you were doing before.
And
And yeah,
I
I think it's control and self-awareness that you have, which is amazing because so many people don't. And that's how they burn out, because they're like, well, I don't have a choice. And I think the fact that you frame it very clearly that you do have a choice and you have to prioritize self-care, that kind of sets you apart from a lot of other business owners. And man, even like me, not just other business owners, me too.
I think it's like also important that if you have a job where you can't take that 5 minutes, I know that there's certain jobs where you physically can't, like if you're in the military and you're fighting in a battle, I guess, and you don't have, you don't always have 5 minutes to step back.
Yeah, or if you're a doctor doing a surgery or something and you're feeling overwhelmed, like, yeah, you can't say, okay, I'll be back in 10. You have to push through it.
And I think it's important, especially when you're starting out, at least, that you have like a type of business where you can take those 5 minutes. Once you get more comfortable and you're certified as a surgeon and you're super confident in yourself, I think that's when you should be able to keep going, but also take care of yourself on the side.
Yeah.
Kind of. A little bit of a balancing act here.
Yeah.
How do you keep your boundary, you know, so that your day doesn't kind of blur altogether? Like if you're shifting from fulfilling orders for your business to then going over to Karma Cat, how do you kind of unplug from one before transitioning to the other?
Most of it is honestly my commute in my car. I'm really strange where, depending on the type of music I play, I've conditioned myself to certain things.
Wow.
So when I'm like playing with the cats, I have like really upbeat music. If I'm doing homework, I'll listen to something almost like classical, but not exactly. But there's usually no lyrics to it, so it's pretty much classical. And just stuff like that. I've conditioned myself to what I'm hearing is what I'm doing, basically.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so she's taking herself out of one business or task or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And placing herself in the next one to make those clear dividing lines.
Right. It's like a transition with music. I love it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And what is your favorite thing to do aside from, you know, you're just so involved in so many different things. What is your favorite thing to do for yourself for self-care?
I gotta say it's YouTube. So it's so nice for me to just sit there and kind of zone out. And I watch a lot of funny gaming videos on YouTube. So it's related to like really nothing I do, but I think that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, completely separate.
Yeah, it's something so different that it's new. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's different.
That I don't have to worry about. Yeah.
I love it. So we've gone about 30 minutes already and we haven't talked about what your business actually is. So tell us about some of the products that you make and what kind of customizations you do for your customers.
So I originally started out making just candles, and I had about 10 scents, 10 different fragrance oils, but I'd offer different combinations. So like I had somebody just the other week, they wanted me to combine chocolate and bacon to make a chocolate covered bacon candle. So I'm actually working on that this week. So I'll offer them customizations like that. But one of my newer products and probably my most popular is the Rose Globe. So I offer a standard one, which is just you get to pick one color, and I'll make the Rose Globe made to order and I'll send it to you. But then I order certain customizations where I can do two or three colors. So like the outside is orange and then the inside is pink or whatever you choose. Or I could do it in three colors. I offer a rainbow one. I had somebody, their daughter had a quinceañera, I think this week. So a couple weeks ago, she messaged me and asked if I could write the date on the rose itself.
Oh, cool.
Which I did.
That's awesome.
And it was really pretty. And it was something I never tried before. So I messaged her back and I was like, yeah, I've never done this, but I'll give it a go. And if you like it, you're more than welcome to have it. But
yeah.
And then I see you do the roses in globes with air and also with water, right?
No. So they're really just water.
Oh, okay.
It's basically a snow globe. The water in the roundness, I guess, kind of magnifies the look of it.
I see.
Just because they're handmade and not like robotically put together, I have no choice but to leave a little bubble in it. Because the water just it I can't do it. I can't figure out how to get no bubble.
Oh, I like the
No, it
bubble.
looks beautiful. It looks
Thank you.
awesome. Yeah, we're actually looking at your website as we're talking to you and scrolling through the options of the different colors and
It's
everything.
hard to explain from audio only, so I definitely encourage the people that are listening to go to your
Yes,
site
go check these out. They're
and look at
amazing.
the pictures. Can you tell people how to find you online?
Yeah, so I have two ways to find me online, actually. I have my own website called thescentgardenshop.com, and it's scent like smell, the smell scent. I've had people thought it was scent like sent an email or something. And then I have my own Etsy, and it's the same thing, the Scent Garden Shop, and I'm usually the first result for it.
Cool.
But I get most of my purchases through Etsy. So that's where you'll find like the most reviews and stuff like that, but I don't mind either one.
Awesome. So, what would you say is one of the best tips you could give to other makers or small business owners?
I think the best one would be the boundaries that I mentioned earlier. Kind of set yourself up for success from the beginning if you have like clear boundaries and it's something you like. Like passion is a big thing. If you're not passionate about what you're doing, you're not going to stick with it because it's not something you enjoy.
That definitely is one of the things that I see a lot of the makers in our community. The passion piece of it either makes it or breaks it. You either do it for a long time and you find ways to keep yourself passionate about what you're doing, or you do it for a little while and discover that maybe you're not passionate about that particular thing and you move on to something else entirely. So having those boundaries in place in the beginning to give yourself the best chance is
Yeah.
definitely a huge tip, I think.
And like so there's a difference, I guess, between so like my dad has his catering business and I'm not a big fan of cooking. So I'll help him on occasion, but I'm really not passionate about it. So that wouldn't be something I could do. But I've seen with because I'm only 21, so I clearly haven't done a whole lot. But I've researched quite a bit. And from what I've seen, money follows passion, I guess. So as long as you like what you're doing, people are going to see that, and it's going to be the best product you can give them that way.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
So last question for you, since you already plugged your Etsy and your website, do you also have social media?
I do. I have a Facebook page. The Scent Garden Shop. I forget if there's an LLC after it.
We're checking.
Very good. I know my Instagram, it's at the.scent.garden. And then I kind of forget my Twitter handle too.
So if
The Scent
people.
Garden does have an LLC. So if you're looking on Facebook, it's the Scent Garden LLC.
There you go.
Okay. And then my Twitter is at Scent Garden, and in between Scent Garden, I forget what it's called. It's like the space thing.
Oh,
Underscore?
underscore.
Underscore. Perfect.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much, Maddie, for spending some time with us. We really
Of
enjoyed it.
course. I loved it. It was great.
Awesome. Yeah, it's so good to hear your perspective and kind of really shine a light on why mental health is so important for makers. I think we kind of in the back of our minds, we all know it and just brush it aside, but being really intentional about it is so important for you and the success of your business. So we really admire that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for having me.
You're
Of
welcome.
course. Thank you so much for listening to the Business Handmade podcast. Please make sure to subscribe and leave us a review. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at MarketSpace Vendor Events or on our website, marketspacevendorevents.com.